Well, if you remember last time we were together, we began to look at this parable concerning the kingdom of God, and for time's sake, we had to stop mid-lesson. Well, we're going to try to pick it up again. We're probably still going to have to stop mid-lesson today. As I continue to study this passage, it is more and more intriguing. So I've spent quite a bit of time looking into this parable here. Matthew chapter 25, let's read it again, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them, settled the accounts. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, like I said, we had to stop kind of in mid-lesson last time that we were together, so I want to give us a quick review to bring us back up to speed on the parts of this passage that we looked at. We looked at it again from that same outline that we've looked at many of these, or all of these parables from, actually. We looked at the physical application, then the spiritual application, and then we will be looking at the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that are revealed here in this passage. As to the physical application of this parable, it's pretty self-explanatory, so we'll not dwell long here as we review it, but this master, this householder, he had servants, and he was going away on a long journey, but before he did, he called his servants and gave them certain responsibilities to his business. These responsibilities are represented in these talents. And then when he came again, he held them accountable to these responsibilities. Those that were faithful to his business, he rewarded. Those that were not, he punished. Then we began to look at the spiritual application of the passage, the heavenly meaning. And we did this first by putting our focus where the focus of the parable is. The beginning of the parable says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. This man is the focus of the parable. We looked at the context of this passage and the preceding passage, and we could see easily that this traveling man is the Son of Man himself. This traveling man here represented in this parable, he is the Lord Jesus. And then we began to point out some things about the Master here, really point out some things about the Lord Jesus Christ himself that are seen in the lattice of this parable. First, we saw that he has gone into a far country. Well, our Lord has gone, as it were, into a far country, into heaven itself. He came to this earth. The Messiah has come. He came and he accomplished the work that he was sent to accomplish by his Father. But then he has gone away. But you know, he went away. When he went away with the promise that he would come again, didn't he? He said, if I go, know this, I'm going to come again, that where I am, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We spoke of that account, the glorious account of the Lord's ascension that we are given in Scripture, the ascension, his ascension into heaven. And we could imagine how wonderful it would have been to be there and see that with our own eyes when he called a cloud into glory. But even that glorious event will be dimmed by his glorious coming when he comes in the day of the Lord. That is described in verse 31. That's what that is talking about. The Lord is coming, and when he comes in his glory, when he comes and he puts his feet upon this earth, it is going to be something that has been, it will absolutely be unparalleled by anything that men's eyes have ever seen. We also saw that our sovereign master, the Lord here, the Master, he is the master of servants. And these servants are people made up from the human race. He has chosen humans to be his servants, and that within itself is a great miracle and a great miracle of his grace. We saw also, thirdly, that he has entrusted us, humans, with great responsibility. Responsibility of eternal significance. And that responsibility is seen in many, many forms and fashions, but if you culminate it all together, it's his business. That's the responsibility that the Lord has left us, his business. This kingdom's business that he's talking about here. He left us this business and these responsibilities, they're represented in these talents. We talked about what a talent was. It's a measure of weight. We don't know whether these talents were gold or whether these talents were silver. What we do know was that it is something of great value, something of great importance. Well, the Lord's business is of great importance. It is of the greatest of importance. Fourth, we saw that he has given us this work, this business, these responsibilities to his servants. He's given those to us sovereignly. If you look at verse 15 again, we need to see this again. It says, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And then it says this, to every man according to his several ability. Now, at first glance, we might think that means that he gave these talents, these responsibilities, to these men according to their abilities. That's not what that's saying. If you look at the language of the language here, it means that he gave us his work as he pleased, according to his ability. That's what that means, not according to their ability. A lot of people think, well, if I have this certain ability, that necessarily means I'm supposed to be doing this work. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The Lord gives his work to his servants sovereignly. And he gives it to them as he pleased, according to his ability and according to his authority. And we talked a little bit about this, upon his ability to give us the skill and the grace to perform it. The Lord does that. We don't do it ourselves. And because of that, then where does the glory lie? I want to tell you, if I preach a message of any real profit, more profit than just making us feel good, I'm talking about that the Lord would use for his profit, he deserves the glory for it. If any of us preach a message that the Lord would use for his profit, if he uses any of us in his work unto real profit, we don't deserve the the glory for it. He deserves the glory for it. He has given us that work to do by sovereignly. He has given us the skill. He has given us the grace. He has worked it out that we would work it out. He deserves the glory. And by the way, that also implies then, like the psalm that we looked at Wednesday night, where is it then that we find strength? Where is it that we should look for strength to do this work? Not in ourselves. It's not there. It's according to His ability. Well, we have to look to Him. He's the one that strengthens us. In the book of John 1, it says that He giveth grace for grace. It talks about he gives grace to have grace. It's His ability. He deserves the honor and glory, and He is our strength. It's in Him that we find strength to this work. Also, we noted that the Lord sovereignly divides His work to whom He will. One He gave five, one He gave two, another He gave one. That should tell us that we should not be filled with envy or jealousy over the Lord's work or towards His servants. And you know what? This happens. As a matter of fact, there are many scriptures that warn us that this should not be the case. We should not be jealous. We should not be envious because the Lord has given a certain part of His work to one and not to us or not to another. It's the Lord's work. He gives it sovereignly as He would. And we should not seek that which He has not given us. Also, fifthly, we saw here that there is a day of reckoning coming. The Lord is going to hold us accountable for what we have done with His business, in His business. That day is coming. We have several scriptures that tell us that we will give an account unto the Lord for that which we've done in this body. Sixth, the last point we made, and I want to make it again this morning. I'm not sure exactly where we stopped in it, so I want to make it again to make sure that we understand this. Because it's a wonderful thing. Not only is He going to hold us accountable. Yes, He's going to hold us accountable. He is going to hold us accountable, brothers and sisters, for every word. I am sure of that. But there's another thing also. He's going to reward us. He's going to reward us. Yes, we're going to give account to the Lord Himself, but you know what? The Lord Himself is going to reward us for His business that He has given us to do, that He has skilled us to do, that He has empowered us to do, that we by His grace have done it. The Lord is going to reward us for that. That's an amazing thing. He's going to reward us. Did you notice what He gave His faithful servants here? It says that He made them ruler over many things, but that's one of the things He gave them. But He made them to enter into the joy of the Lord. Made them to enter into the joy of the Lord. What is that? Well, the word here, joy, means gladness. The gladness of the Lord. It's like a perpetual state of gladness. A perpetual state of joy of the Lord. Not just the things of this world, not just the pleasures of this world. Much more than that, it's the joy of the Lord. Let me give you a better definition. There is a better definition. Psalm 16:11. It says, Thou wilt show me, declare unto me the path of life. And here it is. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. That's the joy of the Lord. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. That's what is in store for the Lord's people. And I want to tell you, you can try to figure out what that is, but you'll never do it this side of there. Not completely. But you know what? We get, the Lord by His grace gives us a little taste of it. He tells us that we have the earnest of His Spirit. For long, Lord willing, I'm going to do a message on the earnest of His Spirit and look into the Old Testament. There's a wonderful type over there of those earnest. He gives us these little gifts. And it allows us to get a little taste of what that pleasures evermore is all about. Taste of heaven itself. But notice something else here also. Verse 28, it says that the Lord took the talent from the unfaithful servant, and then He gave it to the one who had 10 talents, doesn't it? He took that one that He gave to the one unfaithful servant, and He gave it then to the one who has 10 talents. Now, wait a minute. This servant who had 10 talents, how many did he start with? He started with 5. And whose talents were they? They weren't his originally, were they? No, they were the master's, the Lord's. He had those originally. Then he took those 5 talents that the Lord gave him, and there were made 5 more with them. But did you notice how many he gets to keep? He doesn't just get to keep the surplus. He gets to keep it all. All. The Lord said, give the one extra plus the one extra. He said, give that all to that faithful servant. You see, this is the generosity of our Lord and Master. All these things that He's given us in His business, He's going to give it all to us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is going to give it all to us. What does that mean? I don't know. All of it. Like I said, we get a little taste of it. Listen to Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's going to give us all things. Now think about this. I believe, I see that a big part of this work here, represented by these talents, is the work of the gospel, in a nutshell. So we can say the Lord is going to give us the gospel. Yes. You see, the gospel is not just a message, is it? It's not just something we read and then we repeat and that's the gospel. No, the gospel, it is reality. It's the most valuable possession men have ever known. It's so valuable that the angels look into the Lord's assembly trying to learn more about it. And they have the glory of heaven. But the gospel is so valuable. And it's not just a message, it's reality. We are owners of it, aren't we? Are you? Owners. I know, we don't always act like it, don't always think like it. But we are owners, brothers and sisters, of a real salvation given by the Lord Jehovah Himself to us. He bought and has paid for us with the blood of His own Son. He really did freely give His own Son for us. He gave His own Son to redeem us. He chose us by His free grace, not of ourselves. Nothing that we have done compelled Him to choose us. No, it's the other way around. Everything, actually, if you want to get right down to it, it would have compelled Him away from us because we're sinful. But He chose us by His free grace. And then as He chose us, He provided a way for us to be justified. He redeemed us with the blood of His Son. He justified us, made us as if we'd never sinned by the righteousness of His Son. He called us by the Spirit of His Son. He will glorify us by the everlasting life of His Son. It's real. We own these things. It's not just a vacant message that we preach. The gospel, brothers and sisters, is ours. The Lord is going to give us the reality of it. We will know what it means not just to preach about justification, but as we stand before the Lord Himself and we are accepted in His sight, we will know really what it means to be justified. When we see the glory of Christ, we will know really what it means to have the Lord as our Savior. Really. We will see it and feel it and live it all because our Sovereign, most generous and gracious Master, because of Him. Notice something else here about this Sovereign Lord, though. Just as high as His grace and as high as His generosity is, His wrath and His justice is also. Look at verse 29 and 30. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see here, just as high as the Lord's grace and just as high as His generosity is His wrath and His justice. We've seen this description over and over and over again in these parables. The Lord is trying to tell us something. His justice and His wrath and His righteousness is real also. Just as real as His grace. Just as real as His mercy. He will, He must judge sin and sinners. He must. Because He's holy. Because He's righteous. So we see in this parable just a few things here about the sovereign Master. We see our sovereign Lord. May the Lord help us to see and to believe and remind us that we are not just servants, we're His servants. This work that He's given us to do, it's His work. And it's of the utmost importance. Okay, now let's move our focus. I'm not even getting started, I'm almost out of time. Move our focus to the servants here mentioned. Let's begin with the first two. They were the Lord's servants. Verse 14. You notice what it says there. He says He called His own servants unto Himself. He called His own servants. One was given 5 talents. The other 2 talents by the sovereign will of God. But these men had something in common. You see what they had in common? They both did the same thing with these talents, with these responsibilities. With this work. By the way, we need to remember that this work, this responsibility, this duty, it is a duty, but it's also a gift, isn't it? The Lord gave them these talents, these gifts, these responsibilities. They're gifts of God. But what did they both do with them? Verse 16, it says they went and they traded. They went and they traded. The word went here in verse 16. Very interesting word. We're going to see it in twofold. But first, it's in the Greek language. I'm not a Greek scholar. I only know what I read. In the Greek language, it is in the aorist tense. And basically that means that the word does not know a beginning or an ending. It's usually translated past tense, went instead of go here. It's usually translated past tense. See, that's where our English language kind of lets go of some of these deep meanings of these words, because the Greek language is very intensive. Okay? But this aorist tense, it does not know time. It does not know beginning and ending. So what does that tell us about this? It says they went. Well, it means they just went. And they went. And they went. It didn't have a beginning time. It didn't have a ending time in the word went. They just went. What that means is their whole life was spent in this going. It was their life. Wherever they go, wherever they went, it was about this. And they went with a purpose. They traded. That word traded there, it means worked. It means labored. It means did business. That's the best translation for it. They did business. So put that all together. All their life, all their going was wrapped up in this business. Not their business, not the business of this world, but the Lord's business. That was their life. That's what they lived for. What does the Apostle Paul say? For me to live is Christ. That's what he's talking about there. These men were the same thing. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We should all desire that this be our lives also, as servants of God. That we be consumed in our Lord's business. Because what does it say about these men? What words describe, what description does the Lord give us here in this passage of these men? Verse 21. Words like, well done. Good servant. Faithful servant. He says they're faithful over a few things. And he says, I will make you ruler over many things. You know why? Because of this going, this went, and this business. It consumed their life. Because of these, they were faithful. They would enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what we should desire, isn't it? With all our being. That's what we should desire as the Lord's people. Before we leave these two servants, notice here also that there was gain to this business. wasn't there? In both of these faithful servants, there was gains. You know, it's easy to look around at this world and our nation and get pretty depressed and get pretty distraught and to think that all is lost. Not as long as our God is still on his throne, all is not lost. Remember what this is? This is a revelation of the kingdom of heaven, the rule of Messiah. Remember, it's a parallel thing to the kingdom of this world. It's opposed to it, but it's running along the same track, isn't it? Yes, the kingdom of this world is moving, but and we see that. We hear it. We live it in these bodies. But there's a higher world that the Lord's people are involved in, and it's the kingdom of heaven. It's the rule of Messiah. And in this revelation, we see here, guess what? There is gain. It's moving forward. It's not been stopped by the kingdoms of this world. It's moving forward. And you know what? It will overcome this earth. And so will we. We have God's promise. We will overcome it. He will win. And so will we. Now let's look for a moment at this other servant here. He was given one talent, but he didn't go and do business, did he? That's where he differed. That's one of the places he differed from these other two servants. No, he went and buried that what the Lord gave him. He buried it. Digged in the earth. He buried it. And what words then define him? Not good and faithful, but no, wicked, slothful. That means lazy. Unprofitable. That means good for nothing. And his end was not the being the ruler over many things, was it? Not the joy of the Lord, was it? No, verse 30, it says that it was outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, a phrase that's become very familiar with us in these parables. Now, there's some who say, see, this man lost his salvation because of his evil or his lack of works. But you know, we know that can't be right. Because we have clear revelation, don't we? We have the clear revelation of Scripture that that is impossible. Because Scripture clearly tells us that the Lord's salvation is unto everlasting life. It is unto this joy of the Lord. We have Romans 8 that says nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he says in that list that he gives us of all those things that can't separate us, one of the things is life. This life can't separate us from that. The Lord loved us in spite of ourselves before the foundation of the world. Guess what? The Lord loves us today in spite of ourselves. And he will love us forever in spite of himself for the sake of his Son. Forever. John 6, it says when the Lord gave his people to his Son, it says that he would lose none of them but raise them all up on the last day. You read that account in John 6, that's exactly where it says. He says nothing, none can pluck them out of his hand. You can't lose God's salvation. If he gave it to you by his grace, he's kept you in it by his grace. It's for by grace are we saved. That's another one of those words that it has no time limits on it. It's we were saved, are saved, being saved by his grace. Unmerited favor. So what then is this passage teaching? What about this last servant? Well, there are some hints here. Some say here, they say, see here in verse 14, it says that all of these servants were God's own, the Lord's own servants. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that this man was saved. You know what? All men in one way or another are the Lord's servants. What I mean by that, we are all his. He owns us. Every one of us. He created us. He gives us breath and life and being. He owns us. And we will fulfill his purpose either positively or negatively. That's how sovereign he is. We will. Think about Judas Iscariot. He was one of the Lord's disciples. But the Lord told us that he was a child of Satan. But did he fulfill God's purpose? Yeah, he did. What about Pharaoh? God said, I raised him up. I brought him to be for the purpose that he served. We know what the purpose was. Did God cause these men to sin? No. But He allowed them to. He allowed their depraved nature to work just like it always does without Him. Unto death. You see, a sovereign God can do as He pleases with His own. Some He uses by His grace for honor. Some He uses for dishonor. But we are all His. We're all His. Psalm 76:10 says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Also, the Lord, it says, yeah, but He gave him a talent. Well, you know what? The Lord blesses all men with His gifts. Matthew 5:45, not evenly. That's not what I'm saying. But He does give all men, all living men, gifts. In Matthew 5:45, it says, "For He maketh His Son, to rise," S-U-N, "His Son, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." The thing about it is, the Lord may bless all with His goodness in this life, but in the next life, the unthankful and the rebellious will suffer the curse for that goodness, for receiving that goodness and being unthankful and being rebellious for it. As a matter of fact, I think that's what, at least part of what is being expressed here. I want you to see something really interesting. We have only got a few more minutes, but I want you to see this. And it shows you how true to form God's Word is. With these two faithful servants, what did we see that they both did with the Lord's talents? Look at verse 16 again. They went and they traded. They went and they did business. Now, I told you a little bit about that Greek word rendered here, went. But I didn't tell you everything about it. It's a very interesting word. It is in the aorist tense. It has no beginning or end. They just went continually. It was their life. But you know what? I found out something really interesting when I began to say this word. It's in the passive voice. Passive. You know what that is? They were passive in their going. Which tells us they went by the power of another. They went by the power of another. You know what Paul said about the preaching of the gospel? He said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." He meant, I have to. I know a little something about that. It's in my own heart. And he was talking about the irresistible call of God. You know, the call of God into salvation is irresistible. It's also irresistible, and the call of God in vocation is irresistible. So you see, these two men didn't go by their own power. God led them. God moved them to go and keep going. Another interesting point, this word traded, it's not in the passive voice. It's in the active voice. The Lord led them, and they worked. They were active at His business. You see the balance? The Lord leads us, but we just can't sit there and say, "I'm led by the Lord. I'll sit over in the corner." No. The Lord leads us and we work. It's all His increase. It's all His power. It's all His strength. But we work at this business by His means, by the appointed means He has given us. Okay, but what does all that have to do with the unfaithful servant? This is what got me looking at that word "went." Look at verse 18. You see the word "went" there? Verse 18, "But he that had received one went and digged in the earth." That's not the same Greek word as verse 16. It's not the same Greek word. It's a different word. Same in our English language, isn't it? Yeah. Not the same in the Greek language. And it's interesting because this word "went," it means to go away, to depart. It speaks of separation. It's not in the passive voice like the other. It's in the active voice. Which means this man went his own way. This man went his own way in willful rebellion. He was not led in this rebellion. He went his own way in willful rebellion and did exactly the opposite of what the Lord told him to do. The Lord said, "You go. I'm going to give you these talents. You go and do business with them." Well, he went over here to the side, digged a hole, put it there. How's he going to do business when it's buried in the earth? one more point about this man. Verse 30, you see the description that were there unprofitable? It's only found three places in God's Word. One other place, this verse here, one other place that describes our strength and our unworthiness, and then in this verse, Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What is that passage talking about? It's talking about the natural man, the man of flesh. You see, this man was lost. He was rebellious. He counted the Lord's business and really the Lord himself as nothing. When the Lord came back to him, all he had was excuses. I knew that you were this and I knew you were that. You know what the Lord said to him? He said, if you knew that, you would have done well to listen to what I said and not rebelled against me. Done what I said with my money. But he was found in rebellion. He went his own way. That's the difference. The Lord, these other men, the Lord was leading them. They were going in the Lord's strength, in His power, in His might. This man was of the natural man. We're going to have to stop here today. We praise the Lord for His great Word. It's a wonderful thing about God's Word. It is true. The more that you dig, the more that you find. And the more you dig and as you find, you realize it always goes to that same constant truth. That scripture doesn't oppose those other scriptures. It talks about the eternal salvation of God. It goes right along with it. May the Lord help us to understand these great mysteries that are revealed in these parables. May He help us to know that this business, this kingdom's business, it is the Lord's business. May He be merciful to guide us in this business and move us to work into His business. We praise the Lord for the time that we've had in His Word this morning.